The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Liz Truss has been, if anything, certainly as bad as Johnson on the populism agenda.
She wants people to work hard and she hates people being told what to do.
The markets are looking very, very closely at political pronouncements.
Together, we can ride out the storm. We can rebuild our economy and we can become the modern, brilliant Britain that I know we can be.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics, your daily guide to the corridors of power. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Today, the next big hurdle facing Liz Truss, the Conservative Party conference. Will her party rally around the Prime Minister after the disastrous reaction to the budget?
And as the pound recovers, it's currently close to its pre-budget level. Are we over the worst of the market turmoil? We'll hear from a former Bank of England and IMF economist.
Plus, we get two opposing views of the government's economic policies from the Resolution Foundation and the Institute for Economic Affairs.
So, it's been a quiet week, hasn't it, for markets and politics in the UK?
Dry, hollow laugh from the rest of the studio. Just a casual meltdown of UK assets, the pound hitting a record low against the dollar, and a historic sell-off of government bonds. Investors, I think it's fair to say, taking fright at the announcements made just a week ago, would you believe it? £160 billion cost over 5 years of Kwasi Kwarteng's plans for the economy.
Yeah, God, it's only a week ago. While the Bank of England rode to the rescue on the markets front, I think the political fallout has a lot further to run. The Prime Minister out doing the rounds yesterday on BBC local radio, insisting that the government's plan is still the right one.
We were also hearing from the International Trade Secretary, Cammy Badenoch, defending the plans in an interview with Bloomberg while on her trip to the United States.
This is a global phenomenon. You're absolutely right that there is some instability in the UK right now, but the Bank of England has also made lots of statements which has provided lots of reassurance to business. So I think that we're actually in a really good place.
Yeah, some instability, probably fair to say. Now let's look ahead to the Conservative conference starts on Sunday. Several big names, including Rishi Sunak, of course, reported not to be going this year. But let's talk to somebody who will definitely be there, our very own Lizzie Burden. Now, Lizzie, everyone loves a honeymoon conference, don't they? New leader riding high in the polls, adoration of party members. How is this week going to pan out for Liz Truss? What's the atmosphere going to be like?
Awkward, alarmed. I'd say that's the case given we had this poll from YouGov via the Times yesterday saying that Labour's now got a 33-point lead over the Conservatives. It's the biggest lead any political party's had in 20 years. And of course, it's the response to Kwasi Kwarteng's fiscal earthquake. That's all it can be called. Behind the scenes, he's been pleading with his colleagues to support his policies. one of our reporters at Bloomberg has seen a WhatsApp chat of Tory MPs in Kwarteng said, "We need your support to do this, as the only people who win if we divide is the Labour Party." And we're hearing as well that some of the Tory MPs are calling for him to quit so that Truss has the political cover to U-turn on some of her tax cuts. But actually, as you played the clip there from Kemi Badenoch, it was the same message from Kwarteng and Truss. They're sticking to their guns. They're saying that their growth plans are going to work. So it's a very uncomfortable moment as we head into Tory conference. And as you say, lots of the political heavyweights are just going to sit on the benches.
Is there any risk that there actually will be sort of dramatic changes out of this? You know, like, for example, the Chancellor resigning. Does that look any way likely?
It doesn't look likely to me. Liz Truss is someone who has, on the face of it, valued loyalty throughout her political career. She manages to change her spots like whoever's government she was in, and it's arguably why she got to number 10. The question is, does it work both ways when she's the Prime Minister? Does she show loyalty to her ministers?
Lizzie, talk us through the political significance of Truss and Kwarteng meeting with the UK government's fiscal watchdog, the OBR. Of course, it was the bold decision to sideline the OBR last week, which was one of the key things which really roiled markets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really difficult to understate how unusual this is. When you get a new chancellor, they do usually meet with the chairman of the OBR, fine. But there are no records of the Prime Minister joining in any of those meetings over the past 6 years. So there had been a debate on Twitter before the meeting about what the government's intention was here. Was it to try and weigh on the independent forecaster? And of course, in the run-up to the Truss taking office, she had been so scathing of the Bank of England's mandate. And then more recently, Mark Carney, the former Bank of England governor, said that the UK government was weighing on our economic institutions. Or, to be more generous, is it that Truss and Kwarteng have finally realised that those economic institutions matter, that they should have sought an OBR forecast in the first place, and that this is them trying to appease markets and show some credibility economically?
Yeah, what we're hearing from that meeting so far is that the UK Treasury hasn't sought to accelerate the OBR's economic forecast. That's according to officials familiar with the meeting. We don't have the full details of that yet. That's still to come. But Lizzie, let's turn back to the economic front of this. We have seen the pound recover. What is driving that recovery?
Well, again, it's a big debate on Twitter because we don't know. But is it because the Bank of England has stepped in and shown that it's actually not going to leave the market to collapse at the risk of the pension funds? Is it because, as some people suggest on Twitter, I don't think it's likely, because there's now actually hope that the Labour Party is going to take over in 2024? It's difficult to say, but really it's only back to where it was at the start before this budget. So I'm not sure it's a ginormous win for the government.
Lizzie Burden, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck on your trip to Birmingham. We'll hear from you next week.
Might need it.
Yeah, I think we'll be very glad to hear all the things that you'll be hearing. And we will also be live from the Conservative Party conference on Bloomberg Radio from 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Caroline Hepker will be bringing us Bloomberg Daybreak Europe from Birmingham. So plenty more to come on that front. Let's continue talking about the economic policies, though, of the UK government, and this question over whether the worst of the market turmoil is over. We've been talking about this with the economist Paul Mortimer Lee, formerly of the Bank of England and the IMF, now a research fellow at the National Institute of Economic and Social Research.
We're over the worst of it in the acute sense. Yes, that's certainly true. But the worries about the Chancellor's financial strategy are still there, lurking under the surface. We're looking forward to him laying out his plans on the 23rd of November about how he's going to make the budget add up. What's he going to do about spending? Inflation's much higher than it was when the spending limits were set previously. Is he going to increase spending and further add to the budget deficit? Or is he going to allow a savage real cut in spending by keeping the cash outlays constant? Those questions are yet to be answered.
Does the plan, though, and the measures announced, I mean, the other factor was the promise that it would boost growth. Do you actually think that it will boost growth?
Well, it will boost growth in the short term, yes. You know, the National Institute have said that we may well return to significant positive growth from the end of this year compared with their previous forecasts of a continued contraction. But will it be a supply-side miracle? And the answer is no, because a lot of the measures are merely reversing the announced increases in taxes and national insurance of the previous Chancellor, Rishi Sunak. And those measures were announced in 2019, which personally I don't remember as being a golden age of economic growth. So no, this is not a magic formula to return to growth. And what the markets are worried about is the government already is laying out $100 billion probably in terms of subsidies on energy. And then these tax cuts come on the top of that. So the UK budget deficit is huge. Who's going to finance it? And there's not the domestic finance, so you're relying on the kindness of foreigners. And a lot of those foreigners are central banks, and they want to see responsible and credible policy in the UK if they're going to put their country's money in UK government bonds.
Well, what can the Chancellor say? We're going to be hearing from him at the Conservative Party conference. What can he say that might help in that direction?
Well, he's got to do one of two things. One is to say, I got it wrong and I'm not going to implement these measures. I think that's a resigning speech. So what you may well do is double down and say, what we're going to do is we're going to cut expenditure. Now, given that we talked about earlier, we heard earlier that the Conservatives got a massive deficit in the opinion polls, that's not going to help them at all. So it may well be that this go for broke strategy is what we get, which may help in terms of market sentiment in closing the black hole in government finances. But it's not going to help the Conservatives electorally, in my view.
Is the UK going to be permanently scarred by this?
Permanently is a strong word. Certainly it's going to take some time to recover from this. The UK has lost a lot of credibility. Its budgetary control really got lost during the COVID era, because what happened was that the UK could spend tens of billions on job support measures because the Bank of England was really financing that through its quantitative easing. It was buying gilt-edged stock. And it may be that Kwasi Kwarteng thought, okay, the market swallowed this big increase in expenditure, they'll swallow a big cut in taxes. What he seems to have forgotten was that the Bank of England had stopped buying bonds. Well, it stopped buying bonds until this week. And you can see how important Bank of England buying of government bonds has been, because it stabilised the gilt market and it stabilised the currency. The question is, can it stop?
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at QuickBooks.com/5APY.
Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
So as you may have noticed, the £45 billion of unfunded tax cuts announced just a week ago by the Chancellor set off a market firestorm for UK assets. But the government has held firm, with Prime Minister Liz Truss insisting her plan is the right one for the UK's economy.
We've seen the pound recover much of its losses, but the UK's borrowing costs remain much higher than before this announcement. So can the government stick to its plans? We've been discussing this with James Smith, Director of Research at the Resolution Foundation, and Matthew Lesh, Head of Public Policy at the Institute of Economic Affairs.
Look, I think what the government's trying to say, by my reading, is that the UK has a problem, which is been stagnant economic growth for a long period of time. And the government wanted to change approach and put out, the UK on a radically different path. And some of that has been announced last week. And I think undeniably that's led to some jitters in the market and some instability. And it's, of course, proven politically quite costly from the government. What I think ultimately going to matter is whether or not the agenda can be fully put forward, because I think we've only seen the beginning of the government's agenda when it comes to economic growth, and whether or not they're able to actually implement that, and that delivers the economic growth that the country desperately needs.
Hang on a second. Jitters? That's not the right way to describe what's been happening in markets since this mini budget. And the idea that this is going to help the economy has been proven to be short-lived, of course, given what's happening in the mortgage markets and expectations that house prices are going to crash 15%. This is real economic damage that we're feeling right now, Matthew.
Well, look, the truth is that you can't...
That is the truth.
I mean, that is not exactly the truth. The truth is that there
What's
are
not true
pressures
about that,
that are
statement?
Pushing up interest. Well, the truth is that there's global pressures that are putting up interest rates. The cost of borrowing was already going up. Now, the government, I have absolutely no doubt, has fueled some of that fire, is partly to blame. But I think it's ridiculous to say there wasn't inflation, the Bank of England wasn't putting up interest rates.
I didn't
there wasn't
say any of that.
Potential issue. No, I don't think you're saying that, but I think the implication is that the government is entirely responsible for the fact that interest rates are going up. Interest rates are going up before Liz Truss became prime minister. So was inflation. So all these other issues that were going on in the economy. And I absolutely agree with you. I don't think that the plan has been well received. I don't think it's been necessarily well communicated or fully outlined in terms of what the government's trying to achieve. I think the underlying goal is completely right in terms of boosting economic growth, but there've obviously been some serious problems in terms of getting that message out there.
James, let me bring you in on this point then. The Resolution Foundation today says that basically the fallout of this is going to mean that there's going to have to be a £47 billion austerity drive that's going to be needed to try to bring the national debt under control. That is surely going to be amazingly difficult to enact. Do you really think that that is what Liz Truss is actually going to do, that she's going to go immediately for a massive, even larger than the last austerity package, another go at it?
Look, I mean, what's happened here is the markets have clearly taken fright from $45 billion of unfunded giveaway, a backing away from transparency and process in terms of making these decisions. So the government is under a lot of pressure at this point. You're seeing that because they're making quite a lot of having meetings with the OBR, and they're trying to link themselves back to some of that process. So the key thing is, how does the government put the fiscal position on a sustainable footing? And that's where the impact of financial markets, which will seem very remote for many people, are really, really sort of biting. So, you know, we haven't talked about those who are seeing their mortgages withdrawn, prices going up. The increase of about a percentage point in short-term interest rates will be adding something like £1,000 to the average mortgage when they eventually feed through. But as you say, the real big issue here is exactly what the government does in terms of cutting back in order to bring about that fiscal sustainability. So the history tells us the first place that they do that is public investment. So getting us back to long-term averages for public investment could cut something like $25 billion off the deficit, but that would really be rowing back on the growth agenda, and that would be a mistake. The other thing that the governments have tended to do is to cut back on benefits, and if the government operated benefits in line with earnings forecast would suggest that would save about $10 billion this year, $20 billion next. But that would be a mistake because, you know, we're really seeing big rises in the cost of living for those on low incomes, not just energy, but also food and other components. But both investment and cutting back for low incomes really hit growth in the near term and would be counter to the government's stated aim.
Okay, Matthew, back to you if I may. I mean, James made the point that the markets seem very remote to people. I mean, to our audience, that bit alone is kind of shocking. That the Chancellor and the Prime Minister, who have city history, you know, Kwasi Kwarteng was an analyst at a number of firms. They were touted as people with knowledge and understanding of the financial markets. And that, I think, is what our audience is finding so staggering. This is what Royal London Asset Management told me this morning. To blame this on Ukraine is, quote, crazy. That is the difficulty that investors have, is that the government is not coming clean here.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the government should be absolutely honest and needs to be clear. And I think they made a mistake in terms of announcing a whole number of spending promises and tax cuts. We should remember that the biggest chunk of this is the broadly approved of idea of freezing energy bills, which is extremely costly. It's a kind of an unlimited unfunded guarantee, which is substantially increasing debt. And you add on top of that all this tax cuts. It's not an ideal context to be announcing those changes. And they did that without necessarily putting forward, as has been discussed, a forecast from the OBR or what they were going to do on the spending side. And now I suppose that needs to be addressed. And then I think additionally to that, and perhaps more importantly, they need to tell a persuasive case about regulatory reform, because this is the underappreciated part of what the government's trying to do, which is it's putting effectively a down payment on growth by cutting taxes that it thinks are going to discourage investment, like increasing the corporate tax, for example. But at the same time, they're saying, we want to address some of the regulatory issues that are holding back investment and holding back activity. Now, they've said they want to speed up infrastructure planning processes, and they've flagged a whole bunch of areas from business regulations, planning regulations, aviation, agriculture, childcare, where the government is going to be announcing plans, but they haven't done so yet. And it's the combination of those things that can boost economic growth that ultimately will mean a bigger economy, more government fund spending capacity. And it's that combined agenda that can boost economic growth that the government needs to outline in order to be persuasive to markets that there is a growth plan. It's worth noting that central banks have been talking for quite some time about how they can control things on the inflation side, but the government needs to sort out economic growth. They need structural reforms. And we've heard that from central banks all over the world. And I think the government is trying to get on with those structural reforms. They've just gone ham-fisted, I suppose, with some of these tax cuts, and that's resulted in this financial instability.
James, those structural reforms are absolutely necessary, aren't they? That is a policy mix that will help growth. You do need to boost productivity. It has ailed for too long here in the UK. Some of those measures will be needed.
I absolutely agree with Matthew. The number one priority, the big issue facing UK governments over the past 15 years or so since the financial crisis, has been the extremely weak growth we've had. Over that period, growth has been the weakest since the Great Depression on a per capita basis. So that is a huge problem. The big issue here is the timing of when you were going for growth. The time to go for growth, particularly with a big tax cutting package, is not when you have inflation at the highest for 40 years. And that's what's really given the markets the sense that this is not a thought through sustainable plan. So for sure, we need structural reforms. You know, tax cuts can help. That can be part of that. That's not bad policy in principle. But the key thing is basically focusing on the priorities that the government should have, particularly in the winter ahead. So that's helping households with the cost of living crisis. And once inflation is under control, once the government has supported the Bank of England in getting the inflation problem dealt with, then that is the time to go for growth with structural reforms, with not necessarily all the policies that are being announced, but that should be the focus of the government, both getting growth up and fighting the inequality issues that we're facing.
Matthew, the polling, a lot's been made of this morning. Labour, 33-point lead from YouGov. Servation, 21-point lead. Delta poll, 19 points. I mean, we all saw the Labour Party conference just a few days ago with Keir Starmer. You know, a complete change of fortunes, really. I mean, after 12 years of Conservative government, is there sort of an acceptance that after the Boris Johnson tenure and this kind of self-inflicted financial crisis, that actually trust is not going to last very long?
Look, I'm not an expert in reading the political tea leaves, and I'm not going to try to predict whether or not trust is here to stay for the next 10 years or is going to be gone next month. Look, I think if I were to make an assessment, I'd say she needs an opportunity to actually get on with the reform she's been talking about. And I think she's said quite consistently that not everything she's doing is going to be popular, and there might be some short-term political pain. In fact, even announcing some what are widely seen as some quite unpopular measures, in the idea that if you can get on with boosting economic growth, ultimately your political fortunes can be reversed and you can be quite successful. It's worth noting Truss came into office with a pretty low position in terms of Tory support, as well as a very challenging economic context. And in the face of that, she has said, I'm not going to stand still and do nothing. And we're going to push forward with a range of economic reforms. Because I think this is the truth, which is Truss could have come in and just announced we're going to freeze energy prices. That would have been very popular, but that would have left the UK, I think, on the same general direction, the same outcomes mm-hmm. for the economy over time, and okay. in the sense of a slow decline. And James. We're being willing to take a kind of more radical differentiating approach, yeah. Even if it is unpopular, is something that I think is the kind of the gamble, the risk okay. politically as the Truss administration is taking.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kruszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.